The Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live.
Thanks for being with us. We have a lot going on. This is one of those shows where people may drop in, may drop out. It's what I like. We don't want to have everything scripted. That's not how our industry should be. Opening comments are brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business, as they do through the years. We appreciate Jeff Mishi and Desert Financial and their support. There's a few calls that are out. I know Jordy's going to drop in from Arizona State because of the COAPete news on the ASU side of the street. There's a few people I'm getting on the U of A side of the street. It may be here on the stream. It just may be on the website. That's how it works. The big news, there's big news all over the place. Today could be one of the top two or three days in Arizona Wildcat basketball history. For those of you that are Arizona State fans, you're not going to want to hear this. If you decide to shut me off, it's your call. I'm just telling you, this is not going to sit well with you. And I blame the president of the university for about everything I'm going to throw out at you today. About an hour ago, COAPete announced that he is going to go to the University of Arizona. He chose U of A. I don't know if Arizona State finished second or if Houston. I don't know that. COAPete is a generational talent that comes through our state. We've had a few of those through the years. Marvin Bagley was one. Alex Barcelo was one. Jared Bayless was one. Mike Bibby was one. Richard Jefferson was one. Channing Frye was one. DeAndre Ayton was one. Where'd they all go? So if U of A, they get COAPete, and if tonight they beat Duke, you can't tell me outside of winning a national championship there hasn't been a better day to be a U of A basketball fan or just a U of A fan in general. Today would have to go down because no one is expecting them, except for the fans of U of A, to win tonight. Nobody's expecting them to beat Duke. But they've already won the day with COAPete. It's COAPete, it's Bryce James, LeBron's kid, that are part of the recruiting class, but Koa is a five-star, and he's a true five-star. I can go all the way back seeing COAPete when he was, I don't know, a fourth grader. My son was a sixth grader, yeah. And I coached against the Petes, and I loved playing against them because they played very hard and very aggressive, and Koa just threw people around as a fourth grader. So then you start watching a kid, and he gets over to Perry, and he blows up and goes about his business, in my opinion, the right way. And you know that it's one of those special players that you're going to see. You don't see them come along very often. Our industry of hype, 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 most of the time I just take a step back and say, we'll see. COAPete was all that, is all that. And so this is not just a one-shot deal. By the way, I'm not being rude to you guys. And it's just when I have a guest that pops in like this. Working on somebody. So when I see how Koa has handled his recruitment, there's a bunch that goes on here. On the U of A side, they have infrastructure. They have something in place. So they have a lot in place. This is a huge get for the coaching staff, for Tommy Lloyd, and the belief that, well, why don't you get those players? If Tommy Lloyd doesn't get COAPete and U of A loses today, it would be one of the worst days in the history of the U of A. But that's not how it's going. And let's see. He is not in. I get you. I think. I'm working on a guest here. Jared, why don't we do this? Let's step aside. I'll bring in the guest. Let's get the first break out of the way. And I'll bring the guest in. We'll be back with more. This will be on the COAPete side of things next. So Greg Rosenberg with Prep Hoops is with us. He joins us live here for a couple of minutes. Reaction on COAPete choosing Arizona over others, Arizona State, were they ever in the mix? Greg, what are your thoughts? It just happened.
I think it's huge for the program, for the state of Arizona. I mean, this is the biggest prospect that Tommy Lloyd has landed for that staff. You heard rumors around everyone. There's always rumors. Even the Arizona staff heard every single rumor known to mankind. It's ASU or Arizona. And then, you know, obviously with the change of at Texas, and Baylor got another player kind of his position, you thought it was kind of a three-horse race with Houston. So it's the fact that he announced Arizona. I mean, it's a big win for the state of Arizona, of course, and four-time state champion, three-time Gatorade Player of the Year. It's not always, you know, on the tip of their, you know, it's, we had Ty Washington recently. It was a big name, and that, you know, is in the Phoenix Suns, went to Kentucky over Arizona. So Dalen Terry's, in my recollection, is the last like big name to choose Arizona. You know, so that this is really big. I mean, if they could pull off the win versus Duke, be the cherry on top for this day. And it'll be a special day for U of A fans.
Can you give me any insight, Greg, as to shoe contract playing a role in this? A Nike school where he was with a Nike AAU program and an Adidas school at Arizona State. How did that, if any at all, play a role, do you think, in this?
I don't think it does as much as people think, but maybe more agency. Now, who else committed earlier? Do you recall? Someone committed to Arizona already.
LeBron. Yeah, Bryce kid. Yeah, Bryce, yeah.
Bryce James. And Bryce. He is represented by Clutch Sports. And I believe, I'm not 100% on this, but Cole Pete's sister or someone in the family works for Clutch Sports.
Got it.
So is that, I don't know. You know, that's, you know, your mind goes everywhere and you know, you kind of just go to assumptions. But honestly, I mean, look at the fit of Arizona. I mean, they win every year. They're obviously in the Sweet 16 at the biggest stage. You know, it's Tommy Lloyd is proven he could coach. You know, it's like it's a win-win. And his family, I know, is really tight. I saw him in the state finals. Half the entire first row was entire Pete clan. I mean, they all support him. They could, you know, drive down to Tucson, maybe an hour and a half from Perry area. And, you know, it's just a win from the family.
I'll let you go off that. I appreciate your insights. As always, Greg, thanks.
My pleasure.
Greg Rosenberg there, Prep Hoops. Appreciate him here with us for a few minutes. Let's move on from Greg and bring in Jordan Hamm. Jordan joins us out at Arizona State for a few minutes. And, okay, so I just talked to Greg Rosenberg about Koa going to U of A. What is the feel out there on this one?
I think it was a, you know, it felt like they were in it until the end. And the fact that, you know, they were one of the finalists, I think, is a big deal. But ultimately, I think U of A provides that stability, I think. You know, so I think that is why they probably, or Koa went the way he went. But, you know, it sure seemed like they were battling for him until the bitter end.
I feel like Bobby did a good job on recruiting this one, but U of A has better structure. Tommy Lloyd, it's his best recruiting win, even more so than Bryce James. Bryce James is tied a lot to his dad, of course, or almost all to his dad. Koa Pete, I've seen in person, as I said earlier, it's like 8 years. I coached against him when he was a fourth grader. And Bobby, throughout this, pushed and pushed, but when you have a basketball program that is just neglected, and it's neglected not from this current athletic director, they're actually finally doing something after 20 years of neglect, you're already starting way behind the eight ball, from my view. Would you agree or disagree on that?
Well, I think look at these other schools that ASU was going up against. It was Baylor, it was Houston, it was U of A. Like, those are programs that pour resources into their basketball programs. And like you said, I think ASU is getting better, but you know, they are not being, I don't think in terms of resources, they're at that level quite yet. So I think that's where there's a delineation there. Sorry, there's a celebration going on behind me. I'm not sure exactly what's happening here, but
are they gonna
a lot going on here.
I hope they tackle you from behind. It would make for a good show. Beyond ASU, and yesterday you were at an event over at Papago Golf Course, and you sent me a text about how there's just a really different vibe. I saw Graham Rossini yesterday, the athletic director at ASU, over at LPGA event yesterday. And I told him, I said, I think you're handling your business the right way the first time in a long, long, long time. You saw that last night. Paint a picture for the fans of what you saw.
Yeah, Molly Miller's intro press conference, new women's basketball head coach, you know, coming over from Grand Canyon, coming off of a 32-3 season. And there was just a lot of buzz and energy in the building. And it was, you know, standing room only to introduce Molly. I think that speaks to, I think, the excitement behind Molly, but the excitement behind women's basketball, but also the excitement within the athletic department. And that it's, you know, the fact that we had probably five or six other head coaches there that showed up to support. And there was just a lot of energy going on. And it feels like a cool new chapter is starting there. So I think there's a lot of buzz around ASU athletics right now. And again, certainly Molly has a big part of that with in her corner with the women's basketball team. But I think it's also the work Graham and his team are doing as well.
I'm going to put you on the spot here on football. You're out there. You're watching Sam Levitt. We're in a day and age where transfer portal or injury can happen on a moment's notice. I'm not saying that's going to happen with Sam on the portal. If he weren't on the field, who would be the quarterback for ASU?
I think pretty clearly it'd be Jeff Sims. He was clearly the number two last year. And I think there's a reason he came back. And it was, you know, he knew he could get developed by Marcus Arroyo. And if the opportunity arose where he could show what he could do on the field, then he's going to take advantage. But I think there's a pretty clear delineation. You have, you know, Sam's the lead dog. And then you have Jeff that is coming in a very experienced backup. And that's really a luxury in college athletics to have someone who's played as many games at the college level, at the Power Four level, to be your backup.
Why did he stay? Do you know?
He spoke to the development that he was still getting, even if he wasn't necessarily on the field. It was that he was in the right hands with Kenny Dillingham, with Marcus Arroyo, and some of these other staffers. And I think he really enjoys it here. I'm sure, you know, he got taken care of financially as well. So, it was a bit of a surprise when it announced that he was coming back. But when he explained it in that way, and, you know, kind of like what you said, like, an injury can happen to Sam. Like it's right. It happens all the time in football. So he could all of a sudden be the one in charge of this offense with a lot of eyeballs on it right now.
What does the rest of that quarterback room look like here in spring ball?
They have Butter Tollefson, the freshman. He's an early enrollee. You have Navi, who was there last year as well. So some young guys, I think some talent certainly that they're excited about. But it is very clear, like, this is Sam's room. This is Sam's offense. And, you know, he was a leader certainly last year, but it was definitely Scat's offense. And I think you're starting to see those reins kind of get handed over to Sam, to the Jordan Tysons, to the Shimon Mateyers, to the Ben Colemans along the offensive line. And then you also have a very talented running back room where I think there's a couple guys that can try to help shoulder that load that Scat is leaving behind.
What about the We Are the Champions being played over and over?
Oh, my God. Kenny is making me hate Queen. we heard We Are the Champions probably 12 times on Tuesday. We've heard it probably 4 times today. We've heard All I Do Is Win. And he is just trying to bludgeon out the praise. When they hear praise, because all they've heard is how great they are for months and months now, when they hear praise, he wants it to be like the ocean, just white noise to them. So he said he wanted to make last year irrelevant. This is a new team. The work starts now to try to repeat. But you can't rest on the fact that you were the Big 12 champion last year, a college football playoff participant last year. That means nothing now. So he is doing it in his very Kenny way to get that message across. And the media is suffering right along with it.
Can you show the people where you are? Because, like, Jordy's out there. Mm-hmm. When we talk about going to spring ball, Jordy's out there every day doing this.
Yep. Yeah. So we got the bubble behind us that has been lightly used this spring. We have the I, I can film this. Yeah, we're good. We're good. This is all independent.
Oh, I want you to get thrown out.
Individual stuff.
Yeah, yeah, I want to throw you out. You can't go live.
So we got offensive line working right here. The quarterbacks down the field. We got another field over here. A lot going on. And that's probably the most impressive thing about football practices is how much they can fit into roughly 2 hours of practice. They have a lot of things going on. They just had their competition setting where the team kind of comes together, and sometimes it's one-on-ones with wide receivers, defensive backs. Sometimes it's one-on-one between offensive line, defensive line. Sometimes they'll throw an offensive lineman and a defensive lineman to do a wide receiver cornerback drill. Like, they try to keep it fun, especially at this time of year. Like, these guys are in basketball shorts. There's no pads. We're not tackling. It's trying to get your mind right, get the conditioning up, but still stay focused and kind of instill some of those new concepts that they're doing. So spring ball is a really fun time of year. They're going to have a couple, I think, open to the public throughout the spring. They're going to have their spring showcase at the end of April. So it's really nice weather today. And if you want to come see the Sun Devils or U of A, you know, down in Tucson, there are opportunities to come check out some spring ball.
And Jordy goes to both, which is really cool. See ya. Thanks.
All right. Thank you.
There he goes, Jordan Hamm. He's over there at ASU. We'll take a break. I've got a couple things I want to get to because it is opening day. We will do that on the other side. So tonight, U of A against Duke. Today is opening day. Today should be a national holiday. I've always felt that. You may be one of those that doesn't like baseball, but if from a community standpoint, you go to opening day. Doesn't matter. You go to opening day, there's bunting. You got the red, white, and blue going on. I don't know if they're doing a flyover tonight. The ballpark, yeah, it's right in the middle of discussion about how it's old and it's aging and it needs to be refurbished and what kind of tax are they going to have. And we've talked all about that. But I would just prefer today to rant about the team that we are going to see on the field this year. I don't care how much money the Dodgers put into their lineup. It is baseball. It is the most fair of all fair games, 162 of them. The NBA, a lot of nights, you know this, you've seen me through the years, they don't care until about this time of season. And last night it looked like Suns didn't care at all. It looked like they wanted to pack their U-Hauls. They were awful. So I switch over to them. Now I'll get one other thing on the Diamondbacks. We have a good team this year here. And I did say we. I don't say that very often. But from a point of pride and community, it's not a team like the White Sox have been eliminated on opening day. You can go up Colorado, they've been eliminated, and it's opening day. There's a very good chance that the A's, even though they're going to be in Sacramento, have been eliminated on opening day. Go up and down through Major League Baseball, and you will find teams and say, there's not a chance this year that the Marlins are going to be in the World Series. There's not a chance that the Rays are going to be in the World Series. There's a very slim chance. And you just go right up and down the line. Here we are in Arizona with a team that is supposedly in a small market, even though the television market is big. The owner here is committed to spending an awful lot of money. Jordan Montgomery, he threw a lot of money into. What happened? Gone for the year, Tommy John. Big waste of money. Is that Ken Kendrick's fault? No. Madison Bumgarner, same deal. Is that Ken Kendrick's fault? No. I would much rather have an owner that is committed to getting a team bought, paid for, developed. When I say developed, I mean Corbin Carroll. When I say developed, I mean Brandon Pfaadt. You can go up and down this roster and look at guys that have come from within the organization. That's what I want. Owning a franchise is a public trust. We have to trust that the owner is really into this to win. Yeah, they're in it to make money. Many owners through the years, and we've seen it here in Arizona, are not good. They don't know what they're doing. I don't care where their decimal point is located. Don't care. Don't care if they have a big yacht. Don't care. Are they good at what they do in managing people? Are they good at what they do in winning? Look around the valley right now at our owners, and it's pretty mixed. Pretty mixed. Looking around the valley of the owners the last 20 plus years with the hockey franchise. What happened? And, you know, you could go through each one and say, well, this is the pros of the Cardinals and this is the cons of the Cardinals. And I think we could all do that one pretty easily. The Diamondbacks, where they are, getting started for opening day. Shoot, Arizona State and their leadership. Take it out of the pro side and go down to the college end. Michael Crow is right in the middle of the reason why they didn't get Koa Pete today. He is. It's not because of today. It was the last 20 years. It was him 2 years ago saying, oh, the arena's just fine. It's not having the infrastructure for the last 20 years to get top players. So, now the Suns last night, my gosh. Go Suns, this is it. They've gone on a winning streak. Ah, we lost by 30 to the Celtics. Ah, and they didn't even have Jason Tatum. Ah. Got my pup over here. So, you know, like, I'm watching them last night. I was like, oh my gosh, this game's over in the middle. And Jason Tatum's not playing. And the Celtics are just bludgeoning the Suns. Ah. So, I'm working on a movie thing on the history of the ABA with a guy that I'm going to bring on, not today, but on Monday. That's pretty good. It's coming out next week on Apple. So we'll bring that to you. We'll have John Wilner next week. We will have other news, notes, angles, as we always do. Make sure you head over to the website, check out our content. It's free with a capital F because we are self-funded. We have partners that have been with us for 15 years. I do the show a couple times a week, might do it more, might do it less. I don't know. And it stayed on the air today because of Jared Nielsen. He's known as the Iron Man. If anything goes wrong with this, it's totally his fault, not mine. I just show up and do my thing. Just kidding. He's great. That's it for now. Have a good day.